So, I mean, this morning is going to be our communion service. And everyone is invited who loves Jesus or is absolutely curious to know more about who he is. And as we remember Jesus, our friend and Lord and Saviour, and what he has done, continues to do in our lives, communion service is a real opportunity. We use this word a lot in church, to meet with or to meet Jesus. And I think that meeting is a different experience for different people, and that's okay. You know, some people experience Jesus full on, and other people meeting him, whether that's in communion or other situations or circumstances, can be just thoughts, could be feelings. It might, you know, you might be taken back to the time when you first met him. You might literally just be spending time because there's just so much weight and heaviness on your shoulders, heaviness on your heart. There are many accounts in the Bible where people meet with Jesus. And the Gospels tells us the story of disciples spending time following him. I mean, how phenomenal must that have been? To spend time in those situations. You know, the feeding of 5,000 people, we read it sometimes, and we don't necessarily get hit by what those words teach us. Of those disciples experiencing Jesus at work, Jesus's miracles. It goes on. Being in his presence brought healing and can bring healing. It brings challenges. I mean, I don't know if anyone brings to mind all those conversations that the disciples had and how Jesus picked up on what they had to say. And you sort of feel like there's those. Has anyone ever had a door moment? I've certainly had it in church. I've certainly been privy where I've said something, not realized what I've said, and then somebody's pulled me up on it. And I think that's okay. I think that's fine. And you go, "Doh, didn't really mean it like that." There's certainly lots of meetings with Jesus where disciples did that. For some, this experience of his presence might bring about forgiveness. You know, for others, it could be a sense of peace. I'm pretty certain that there are people in this room today that are going through some quite challenging, difficult times. And if thinking of Jesus, if being in his presence, if meeting with him, whatever words suit you, brings some peace, I mean, that's just phenomenal. And yet we hear about life-changing experiences. But we also, when we meet with Jesus, he's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself upon people. And we have opportunity to walk away. And there's certainly lots of accounts in the Bible where that did happen, where people did walk away. Maybe a shaking your head moment because we may mistakenly think we are not good enough to seek Jesus. I don't know if anyone's ever had a shaking head. It reminds me of my grandma of always going like that. Because some people think they're not good enough to be with Jesus, to seek him. But the good news is we are. There are many passages that we could look at to investigate what spending time with Jesus looks like. But for this morning, I'm going to focus on three. Now, something might stand out, so feel free. You probably do this anyway when I'm speaking, but let your mind wander off. It's fine. It's okay. But you might feel that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. So just go with it. So the three accounts that we're going to look at this morning is the woman at the well, And that's John 4:1-42. Now, I don't normally give homework, and you don't actually have to do any homework. Did you know that? But if you do feel like you want to go and read it later, then John 4:1-42, absolutely phenomenal. We're going to have a look at the account of the rich young man, as it's described. And that's in Matthew 19:16-30. Feel free again to go and have a read of that. And then the final one is Nicodemus, and that's in John 3:1-21. So in two of these encounters, the person sought Jesus out, and they had questions for him. The remaining encounter may have seemed accidental. The person had no reason to expect to meet anyone that day. Two of the encounters resulted in growth and revelation, one in challenge and sadness. So let's start with the one that ends in sadness. So Matthew 19:16-30, we read about a rich young man who is living a good life. Okay? He's trying to follow the law, the commandments that were given to him by God. He knows there's something about Jesus. So he asks Jesus, "What good deed must I do to have eternal life, to have a friendship with God?" Jesus walks him through, literally, the commandments. The young man must have felt quite secure at this point because he was doing quite well in the old tick chart. Because he could say, "I have kept all of these." But Jesus had kept the most important commandment back. He does not ask him, "Do you love God above all else?" No. Instead, he gives him a task that would demonstrate the truth of the young man's position. Jesus says, "If you wish to be perfect," and in different translations, that word's slightly different, "go, sell your possessions and give your money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." This was more than the young man could manage. He went away grieving. Now, the young man spent time with Jesus, and he asked a question, but the answer was a bigger challenge than he was ready for or could expect. We might mistakenly think that this is about money. I mean, it is at one level, but it is in fact about the idols we treasure above Jesus. For the young man, selling his great possessions was too great a cost to sacrifice, and so he walked away. If we spend our quiet time, or whatever words you call this bit of time that you might carve out in the day to be with him, if we spend that time asking difficult questions, then we might get difficult answers. With Jesus, we can expect to be challenged, but he is not the one walking away. Next, we think about Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a leader of the Jews, both politically and religiously. He was a man of some authority and power. This man comes to Jesus at night, just to be sure, of course, his reputation stays intact. You've got to, haven't you? You know, you don't want to be seen hanging around with Jesus. Oh, no. But he just has to see for himself. There's a real curiosity that he's got to go and see. So Nicodemus opens with a great statement, doesn't he? "We know that you are a teacher who has come from God." So he knows there is something about Jesus. What follows in their conversation is some of the most treasured verses, the most known verses, and in particular for Nicodemus, that rocks the ground beneath him. Jesus tells him no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from it. He tells him, Jesus says, don't be surprised that you must be born again. It is in this encounter that Jesus explains, and just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the man, Son of Man, be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life, eternal friendship. And that was, this is the world-rocking moment of spending time with Jesus. Jesus was talking about himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Nicodemus came under darkness, but believing enough to come and spend time, though I doubt he expected a conversation this deep. He possibly, like the rich young man, came with an element of pride. After all, he was a leader. He knew his scripture, and he recognized there was something special about Jesus. He maybe thought he did not need Jesus, but Jesus showed him even the Pharisees need salvation, and he, Jesus, was the way to it. The last encounter is the woman at the well. And many might know the story. So a woman, this time, guess what? Not a man, but a woman. And not a wealthy woman. Definitely, at that time, not a respected woman. In fact, she was an outcast, having to draw water alone when the other woman would be sheltering the other women would be sheltering from the heat of the day. As you know, I'm a bit of a weather grumper. It's my other profession. And I have a bit of a grump about the weather, but we've experienced some extreme temperatures. And whilst we might not be able to, you know, understand, for people who haven't been to the Middle East, the extremes in temperature, it's been hot this week, hasn't it? And we can understand what it would be like to be out in that heat. I'm more of a sit on the sofa with the curtain shut kind of person, sheltering. So the women would be sheltering, and they would come early in the morning or later in the evening. They would hang about the well, socializing, because it was a social activity to get water. They would have a little gossip, possibly about this very woman. And yet, she is here alone. Not only being a woman, which in that culture was a second-class citizen, not only is she an outcast from her society, outcast from a very dubious moral sexual behavior that she might have had, the society she is cast out from itself, rejected by Jews. This one woman was under no, absolutely no illusion of who she was. She wasn't wealthy, she wasn't respected, and she knew all too well she was a sinner. She was doing wrong. And then she meets Jesus. He asks her for water. She's a little bit shirty about this. How is it that you, a Jew, asks for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? He gives a deep answer. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. She still was edgy. Defensive, maybe. Sir, you don't have a bucket. Honestly, Jesus, you don't have a bucket. What are you asking for water for? Jesus meets this with calmness and a mind-blowing statement. Everyone who drinks from this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. And now she seems to see him. Wow. Sir, give me this water. And Jesus then shows her that he knows her, knows of her seven husbands, but knowing of her sin has not stopped him having a long conversation with her. There literally is nothing that she could have done to prevent that conversation. Not about water, but about salvation, about who he is and her place in this kingdom. He tells her, the time is coming and is here when true worshippers will worship God in spirit and in truth. She did not seek Jesus out to prove herself worthy. Do you know what? She knew she wasn't. She'd been told enough. She did not seek him out to prove herself knowledgeable or a good person. He met her where she was, and she hung around. That's the thing. She actually hung around in the blooming heat and talked to him. And he revealed himself to her, just as he had to Nicodemus, just as he may have if the young man had been able to find the courage to get rid of what was getting in the way of his relationship with Jesus. So this left me reading all this stuff with a thought, but what about us? I mean, it's reassuring to know that we don't have to sneak around under the cover of darkness like Nicodemus did to spend time with Jesus to protect his reputation. Or maybe you do, I don't know. We can also go about our lives minding our own business, having a drink of water like the woman at the well, and then suddenly Jesus turns up. Do we relax sooner than the woman did and be eager to receive whatever he might give us? Or walk away like the rich young man did, admittedly because Jesus got to the root of what was going on and he wasn't ready to do business at that time? We might spend time worrying about creating the right opportunity to meet with Jesus, or the right frame of mind, or when I've done something good, or when I feel better about myself. The list is endless. When in reality, he already turned up to us. He already turned up and we missed him. In the end, Jesus turns up to these meetings and with us simply because he wants to spend time with each individual, with us. That might sound really weird when you've got stuff going on in your head and you're thinking, I don't even want to spend time with myself. Why would Jesus want to spend time with me? But that's not true. He does. And he does it for that L word, that we sometimes dismiss, that Jesus loves us. He loves us despite what we might think about ourselves and what we might have done. Think about that woman at the well. Jesus could have said, I'm sorry, I can't speak to you. I'm not allowed. But he didn't. Sorry, I don't want to speak to you because I know you're a bad person. He didn't. He spoke to the woman at the well because He loved her.